out. Can you remember this, guys? Those sort of sound effects. Can you hear that, Andy?
Yeah, I can hear that, yeah.
That, to me, is gaming 1981. So I'm hoping that these sound effects can, throw a few of our listeners back to 1981. They'll jump on eBay or go to a car boot sale and look for Galaxy Invader.
Oh, is that, was that what
Galaxy
was?
Invader 1000, yeah.
Right,
GCL
okay.
Games.
So let's rock and roll, mate. So
cool.
3, 2, 1. Hello, everyone. Oh, what episode is this? I haven't got a clue.
I don't know. I take it it's the next episode, isn't it? Hang on, let me have a,
look. Yeah, let me have a look as well. I haven't got a clue. I lost track once I stopped being on them. Episode 53.
That's it.
All right, try again. Hello everyone and welcome back to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, The Retro Asylum. I'm your host Andy Godoy and joining me today is Dean Swain, and today is our 53rd episode, which is a special episode, Dean.
It is. We're a couple of years old today.
2 years old now. The podcast has been going for 2 years. I'd completely forgotten about it up until the other day, and I thought, you know what, let's just do a raw podcast. You know, I haven't talked to you in quite some time, so we're going to talk a little bit about how the show's been going for the last 2 years, what's been happening, how things have changed. Yeah. So let's start off with those immortal words, Dean. What have you been up to?
Well, I've not been at work. That makes a change. I'm actually off now for a couple of weeks. And what have I been up to? Not a great deal. I've managed to get a modded Xbox, which I mentioned a few weeks back on the music special. And I've been playing a few games on that. Although I've got to admit, it's one of those things. I always do it to myself. Whenever I've got such a vast selection of games, you end up playing them for a few minutes and then moving on to the next game, which isn't too good really. But the other thing I have been playing, and I only discovered these a few days ago, and I'm not too sure how long they've been on the App Store, but the GCL games like Astro Wars and Galaxy Invader, although I think Astro Wars was Grandstand.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, they've been emulated on the iPhone and Android devices. I've been messing about with those on and off. You only end up playing them for about 5 or 10 minutes, but they're great.
What are they like then? I mean, how do they play compared to the original machines? Because anything with touchscreen, again, we've mentioned on these podcasts before, it's not the same, is it?
It's not the same, but because the games are so simple, they play pretty well. Plus, one of the games, which is Galaxy Invader 1000, which was the yellow handheld, very similar to Space Invaders.
Right.
It's actually arcade compatible.
Ah, okay.
So if you've got an iPad, or I guess you can use your phone, hook it up to your arcade, and away you go. You've got your proper controls, and it plays really well. Obviously, it's not as good as the real thing, but, you know, these bits and pieces are becoming quite expensive, and I've not picked them up again because of the prices. And it's nice to go back and, you know, you do get the feel for them. It's not exactly the same, but, you know, it's not bad for 69p.
69p is pretty fantastic, actually.
Yeah.
Talking about, now, if I do sound a little bit off today, guys, it's because I've had a bit of a flu now. I've had the flu now for over a week and a half. So, like, I might not be 100%. I've got a cup of tea here to keep me going. But Dean mentioned those machines. Now, I went to the boot sale Sunday just gone. Now, we'll talk more about the boot sales in a moment as well. But they had three machines. They had the Astro Wars. They had Scramble.
Yep, great game.
And what was the yellow machine, which was like Pac-Man, which I used to have as well?
Munchman.
Munchman, that was the one. Now, the guy was selling all three for £50. Now, it was tempting, but I really thought £50 is still a bit steep. And one of the things I've learned about these boot sales is, I mean, I could have got it, but there's always that next car boot sale where I might find it for a cheaper price.
Yeah, we did see, I think it was Galaxy Invader, the white one, which I think was released in about 1978. We saw that at a boot sale a few months back now. That was, I think it was about a tenner. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't in the greatest of condition, was it? So I ended up skipping on that. You do, you know, sometimes you do see them on at boot sales, and yeah, I'm sure you probably can get them at a better price, but it's what condition they're in, you know. But you never know.
Yeah, you never know. Like, anyway, I'll go back to these boot sales in a second when I tell you a little bit more of what I've been up to. Now, I had a month off the site, Dean, and a month off the podcast, and you guys did a fantastic job. You know, I really enjoyed the last episode, especially enjoyed your episode as well, the music episode. Which
Thank you very much.
It was one of the best music episodes we've actually done. It worked really well, I've got to say.
Yeah, because I wanted to get the rest of the team involved, because I don't think, you know, not everyone wants to listen to me prat on for an hour about music. But yeah, I enjoyed it. It worked out pretty well. I was pleased with it.
I think the reason why that particular episode worked so well, Dean, is because it just wasn't just your choice of music. It was everyone's choice of music. We all picked a few tracks here and there. We all said a few words. So that way you had a bit of variety. So normally, you know, if you just listen to one person's music, you think, oh, you know, it's not really going to change. I can see where this is going. But with loads of people doing it, it worked really well, I think. And I'd love to have another episode like that further down the line.
Yeah, it's something, like I said, I was really pleased with the end result, and it's something I'd like to try again, definitely. You know, with arcade music, the trouble I had putting that together was a lot of the people who I spoke to just didn't know what tunes to use, because so much of arcade music is drowned out by other machines. But mm-hmm. Yeah, I was really pleased with it, the way it turned out.
Now, what I want to talk about is like what I did off like my month off. Now, I was still lurking, you know, looking at the site here and there, you know, just checking up here, a few things here and there, sending Sam some site news. And again, I'd like to give credit to Sam, because Sam, every time I sent him site news, he'd upload them just like that. And everyone else did a fantastic job. But I did a little bit of gaming here and there. Not as much gaming as I thought I would be, to be honest with you. I honestly thought that every night I'd be playing games because I'd have a bit more time. But I found that since I was having a month off, I was doing other things. You know, I'd go to the cinema, or I'd watch DVDs, or watch movies, I should say, and I did that a lot more than actually play games, which I thought was really strange.
Yeah, I think, you know, every now and then we need a break from gaming. I've got to admit, recently, you know, apart from the past few days, I've taken a bit of a step back from it. It just happens every now and then. It's strange, especially around this time of year, because of Play Expo. I wasn't really planning on going up until, you know, a few days ago when you contacted me. I was still undecided as to whether I'd be going or not. So I haven't really been giving retro gaming a big deal of thought. I've got to admit, also, I've been playing GTA 5, which is unlike me. You know, I can't remember the last time I bought a modern game. You know, I've got a PlayStation 3 and an Xbox 360, and they sit there gathering dust. And it's only since GTA 5's come out. I've been playing it. I've not been playing it a big deal. I've barely scratched the surface with the game because, you know, I just don't get the time. You know, I'm off at the moment, and again, it's family life, you know, it takes over. It's hard to fit in any game in, really.
Well, that's one of the things I'm going to talk about, family life and how things have changed over the last, you know, like 2 years since we've been recording this. But before I talk about that, I want to talk about a little journey me and you went to, because you told me about this amazing modded Xbox that you had gotten yourself. So, you know, once I got the money together, big thanks to my mum for that. She sort of like gave me the money about that, because, you know, I was moaning about how my was broken and everything, and I never get to treat myself. So
the
she was kind enough.
Mum saved the day.
Exactly. Oh my God, I'm 36 and she still helps me out. But yeah, so you picked me up and we went down to this place, and you know, you said it's in a real bit of a rough estate, and we pulled up to the car park, and then we had to go to this guy's back garden. We gave him a secret little knock, and there he was working from his shed with his Xboxes. Wow.
Yeah, it was a bit strange, wasn't it? I mean, guys, you've got to try and picture the scene. We actually walked down an alley and Stan and Sally, there was just one door in a wall. I mean, it's not, you know, you just knock there and this guy opens it, this creaky door up and peers through and, yeah, the next thing you know, you're in a shed. A bit strange. The guy's name's Lee. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he did try and sort of convince me that I could get porn on the Xbox as well, but, you know, I told him that, no, I'm only strictly there for the retro gaming side only.
Yeah, yeah, he does provide a strange service there.
Let's talk about...
Are you pleased with it?
I am. But let's just listen, you know, let's talk to our listeners about who aren't too familiar with modded Xbox, you know, how it works and, you know, what it is. So it's the classic Xbox we're talking about here.
Yeah, the original Xbox. Mm-hmm. I mean, I picked one up at a car boot sale for £2. I think you got one pretty cheap.
I think £5 I got one for.
So what we've done, we've actually part exchanged our Xboxes. I ended up with a crystal one. Mm-hmm. I think, how much did I give him? About £30, I think. So say £32 time I'd pay my original Xbox.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you get, well, on mine, I had Coin Ops 5, which is, you know, an emulator that's more or less got every system on there. The only thing I'm quite disappointed with, it hasn't got any Atari games on there. But other than that, you know, you've got every system up until the PlayStation. And you've got arcade games, PlayStation, Nintendo, 64, SNES, NES, Master System, Mega Drive. The whole lot's on there. It's probably about 4,000 games.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, the version I got is... it's got Coin Up 5 included as well, but it's got something else called, I think, Fusion or something like that. And
yeah.
First of all, I went straight to the arcade games, you know, and I started playing loads of arcade games, and it works fantastically. But there's only a few things that for some reason, my NES games, Mega Drive games, PC Engine games, Amiga games, they don't seem to work in the coin-op section. So, I mean, I did speak to Lee, and he gave me a few settings that I have to try out. But again, it's just trying to try it out, and I'm worried about messing it up. And at the end of the day, to be honest with you, I'm kind of happy just playing the arcade games. So in the long run, that'll keep me happy until I go through those. But what do you think of the emulation?
Well, the emulation so far and most of the stuff has been spot on. The only trouble I have had with it is some of the Star Wars arcades, mm-hmm. the newer arcade game, not the classic Atari game. I think that's running the 32X version, right. And it has trouble. So, you know, with the newer machines... Obviously, it struggles a little bit, but with your classic stuff and the arcade games, it runs them spot on. You know, really, really happy with the emulation on it.
No, I am completely. I mean, that's one of the things I want to talk about. I mean, before I started collecting games again, I started doing, you know, the emulation route on my laptop, on my PC, and like now, that is you know, being pushed aside, and all I've got now under my telly, my Xbox 360 is gone. All I have now there is just the classic Xbox, because it's just nice. Like, if I put the baby to sleep, you know, what I do, I come downstairs and I think, right, I'm going to play 3 games, I'm going to give myself 1 credit on each game and see how far I can stretch this. And that's the way I've been playing it. And it's suited my gaming needs. And that's one of the reasons why I've decided not to get, you know, Grand Theft Auto 5 for the Xbox, because, again, I haven't got the time to invest it. I want to play it, but a just short burst of arcade games is what's got me hooked at the moment.
Yeah, I think you've got to be quite strict with yourself as well, because I'm finding that I'm loading the game up, and if I'm not doing very well at it, or if I get a little bit bored, you know, I end up just resetting the game and going on to the next game, which is no good, really. You've got too much of a choice at times.
Yeah,
you know?
So at the top of your head then, if you can tell me 3 games then that you've been playing quite a bit, and then I'll tell you 3 games...
Oh, let me think. Shinobi, the original arcade game.
Mm-hmm.
Renegade on the Spectrum is actually on there. It just saves me loading it up on the Spectrum. What else? Blimey.
Do you prefer Renegade on the Spectrum more than the arcade version then?
Yeah, I find it more playable. It's it's something to do with it being easier as well. I can complete the arcade game, but I have more of a laugh on the Spectrum version. Mm-hmm. And what else did I was I playing the other day? Lotus 2 on the Amiga.
Right.
Great fun. Oh, and sorry, the other one I've been playing, more than probably any of these, I didn't mention it, was IK Plus on the Amiga.
Ah, yeah, yeah, I saw that, but I couldn't actually play it on my one. Now, for me, I've obviously been playing Bomb Jack. Bomb Jack is one of my favourite arcade games ever. The Spectrum's got an amazing port, but you can't beat the actual arcade game.
No, of course not.
It's so easy and so addictive, you know. I'm always trying to get that little bit better and higher score. What else have I been playing? I've been playing a wrestling game. I think it's one of the Fire Pro Wrestling series.
Yeah.
And again, one credit, and I finished the game. I thought it was fantastic. I'm trying to think what else. I played Alien Syndrome, the Sega game.
Yeah, the arcade version.
Yeah, the arcade version. Yeah. Again, I can't play any other sort of versions on my thing.
Of course, yeah.
But it's not a bad game, but it's not a great game. But I just thought I'd give it a go. And what else did I try? Oh, obviously, Golden Axe.
Yeah, you like a bit of Golden Axe.
To be honest with you, I think I've been going through loads of Sega games. Sega games are the ones that I've seen and thought, you know what, let's play it on my big 50-inch TV.
Yeah.
And it's amazing playing it on a big screen as opposed to a little tiny screen on the laptop.
Yeah, and I guess you're using your HD TV, are you?
Yeah.
How do they look on that? Are you happy with the picture?
Well, to be honest with you, it looks really, really nice, you know. I mean, it's not really pixelated. It works well. I've only got one small complaint. Maybe you can figure this out, or maybe one of our listeners can. It's got a bit of a delayed reaction when I'm pressing the buttons.
Yeah.
Now, I've heard maybe it's because it's my TV.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's because it's like... I don't know if it's... what have I got? Have I got like a plasma or whatever? Or is it an LCD?
I think you've got a plasma TV, haven't you? It might be to do with your whatever leads you're using to connect the Xbox to your TV. That might have something to do with it. See, I'm using an old CRT TV.
Ah, okay.
And, you know, it's a bit strange using an Xbox with those, you know, on an old TV. I always used to, you know, when I had an Xbox, it was on a HD TV. But... you know, the old games, as usual, they suit a CRT TV so much better. And the picture on it is amazing. With the scan lines, you know, it just looks beautiful. And they're not emulated scan lines, obviously. This is the real thing. And the games, they look vibrant in colour. Really are really lovely. Makes a change because I've become used to emulation on a PC with arcade games, you know. And you forget how they're supposed to look.
Well, that's one of the things I want to talk about a little bit further down the line as well. Because, like, with my C64, I've got my old TV now. I've got that in the shed. But, like, when my wife went away for a while, I basically plugged my, you know, old TV with my C64 and it looked fantastic. Yeah. So, anyway, let's start talking about then 2 years ago then. We started doing this podcast.
We did.
Yes. How on earth did we come about doing it? Because we had just done our previous podcast, 1HMPS Retro, and I packed that in, you know, but I still had something to talk about. I still had that hunger to, you know, and then I asked you if you'd be willing to do another podcast, and you jumped on board with that.
Yeah. I think it was just, like you said, we'd worked on the other show, which was Your Baby, and again, this was your idea to do, but... I don't know, we just wanted to do something with a little bit more style, a little bit more oomph, and, yeah, Retro Asylum was the end result.
I think that's really fantastic. I mean, for most podcasts, they don't get past about, what, 10, 15 episodes? And we've done quite a few, if you include all the half episodes, episodes that didn't happen, and so on. And it's really sort of evolved, I think, since we started doing them. Because
Most definitely.
Me, you, and Glenn. You know?
Yeah, it's me, you, and Glenn, and it's strange. You know, looking at the podcast today, I'm not on the show very often, which is a bit strange when you're involved with the birth of it sort of thing. It's you want to be involved a lot more than what you are, but obviously free time and everything gets eaten away with real life, as we were talking about earlier. But yeah, the team has grown. I was always involved with the covers up until a certain episode where basically my free time was being taken away and Sam's taken over that role. And now I look forward to seeing the cover work as, you know, anyone else would do. Whereas before I was involved with, you know, coming up with the artwork each week and that was hard. But yeah, it's just amazing the way it has grown. And, you know, it's nice when you can sit back and watch this thing develop.
Yeah, I mean, what I like about this project is, you know, Retro Asylum is just, with, you've got the podcast and then you've also got the cover as well that really complements it. And I think that really, you know, just gave it a whole new spin on a cover, because most people's podcast covers, it's just like they talk about a game, they put that as their topic, you know, on the cover. But we made it look like one of the old magazines, like your Sinclair or Crash magazine. So we gave it that bit of nostalgic sort of feeling to it.
Yeah, I think it definitely helps. And also, you know, the way we've covered the British formats, unlike so many other retro podcasts out there, we've always tried to feature the home micros as well as the consoles, because every podcast you listen to, it's Nintendo this or Sega that, which is great, you know, we've all played these machines and enjoyed them, but I wanted to hear, as a listener, about the Spectrum, about the Commodore 64, about the Amstrad, about the Atari ST, about the Amiga, about the PC. And, you know, I think that was one of our big strengths as well. And it seems to have been a very popular move.
No, completely. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, I love the Super Nintendo, Nintendo, Master System, Sega Mega Drive and those machines. But it is nice talking about like the systems that you mentioned, like the ZX Spectrum, C64, the Amstrad, and you know, loads of different things. And I think what we've done as well, we've grown. We've, you know, like, we've had listeners that said to us, I would love to be on our show. And we've given them a chance, and they've ended up being part of the team now. You know, we've got, like, who was the first one that we added was Matt, I think it was.
It was, yeah. And, you know, most of the people who have joined the show end up producing better shows than what I have done.
Well, what I like about it is they give it a different spin. They give it a different sort of like feeling, because, you know, Matt's very into his Amiga scene. So he's very sort of like, he would tell a different story to the way I would, because I'm more Spectrum, sort of more console related. And it's nice just hearing someone else's different story. And we've also done other things as well. Like, you know, we've done competitions to find the new host. We've had guests, you know, we've had people talking about the show. I don't think two shows are ever the same, really.
No, and that's again, that's a good thing. You can't churn out the same thing week after week and expect people not to get bored of it. So it is nice that, you know, each episode is different and it does have a shake-up every now and then.
And I like the way it works as well, because how many are there? There's me, you, Glenn, there's Matt, there's Damien, there's Foggy, that we've got our new guys, we've got Retro Hunter, we've also got Anthony, and, you know, we up Sam as well.
Yep.
You know, he does all the front page stuff and occasionally does like a few podcasts. And we've also got like a few new writers as well. And, you know, we're always more than open, like, for any of our listeners. If you want to sort of like write for us, you're more than welcome, you know, to, you know, we can showcase that stuff. You know, if you want to sort of like talk about something, we'll have you on the podcast. And I find that amazing. I think that's what makes us special, I guess.
Yeah, if there's anyone who wants to appear on the show as a guest, you know, get in contact and we'll sort something out.
Right, now, one of the other things I want to talk about then is just like how things have changed. Because when I first met you, Dean, when we started doing this podcast, you weren't married. I remember it was around the third or fourth podcast. That's when you got married.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I've been with Carly for years. I've lost count. It's probably about 18 years now. I met her
18?
When I was...
Wow.
Yeah, I met her at my 21st birthday party.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm 38, soon to be 39 in February. So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, a long time. And, yeah, something I should have done years ago.
Yeah.
Very happily married now, you know. Going really well. Nice. And there's also a new member of the family. You know, we had Lola, she's 7 years old now, and George is coming up for a year in November, so amazing.
And you thought you had no free time before to play retro games and to do podcasts. Now, how have you found this big change then?
Oh, you forget how hard it is having kids. Yeah, I mean, he's like my little shadow, just like Lola was. He doesn't leave me alone. And at the moment, he's not walking by himself. So I'm having to hold his hands and, you know, I'm hunched over, walking him around the house whenever I'm here. It's hard work on my back.
No, I completely understand that feeling. It's like me. I've got a little one as well. You know, since we've been doing the show, Damien's married now as well. You know, it's unbelievable. Matt's engaged. Who else? Glenn's engaged as well, you know?
Yeah.
Which I find fascinating, you know? Like, I think, did he meet Jackie before we started recording this podcast, Retro Asylum, or beef?
I'm not too sure. I think he might have done, yeah.
So I think all in all, Dean, I'm really happy, really, you know, I think it's fantastic the way the show's been going for 2 years. It's evolved, it's changed. We've had to adapt our style sometimes, like doing these raw episodes where there's hardly any editing because I simply haven't got the time. But sometimes I like that freshness, that raw sound to it. And I think people can appreciate, you know, why we do these particular episodes sometimes.
I just wish I sounded fresh. I've got to say, I woke up about 2 minutes before we started recording. So if I sound a bit drowsy, I'd do apologise, but yeah, I took my daughter up to read her a book, and I ended up falling asleep whilst reading to her, and the wife woke me up about 2 minutes before we was due to record, so it was a bit of a mad rush, and I so desperately need a cup of coffee at the moment.
Right, now, one of the things I do want to talk about, Dean, is like, how many more machines and consoles do you have now, and how has your gameplay changed since we started doing this podcast 2 years ago?
Oh my God! When we first started, I don't think I bought the Vectrex at that point.
How many machines did you own then?
Well, I'd done most of my stuff by emulation. I had my original system, so I had like a Dreamcast, a Nintendo 64, still GameCube. I'd sold the PlayStation 2 by that point. You know, I'd moved up to the PlayStation 3. So yeah, the PC was being used mainly, you know, as my games machine via emulation. But now I have got, the first one I went and bought was the Vectrex. For some reason I felt I needed to have that machine. I didn't own one originally back in the day. My cousin had one. So I bought that. Then I got an Atari 7800. Then I managed to get a Spectrum 128K Plus, which was really cheap, 15 quid I got that for, and it was boxed as new, which was amazing. I got a Nintendo, you know, a NES, I got a Mega Drive.
Now, were these systems that you owned back in the day, like the NES?
No,
the
not
Drive?
All of them, no. I didn't own those, you know, my friends had them, so I was playing them, but I never did own them. My gaming systems, I had a Binatone, that's what I started off with, and then it was stuff like Galaxy Invader and Astro Wars, you know, the handheld LCD games.
Yeah.
Then an Atari 2600, which was a hand-me-down from one of my cousins that I got for Christmas, and then the Spectrum Plus 2, and then an Amiga. So, no, those were the original machines until I got a PlayStation 1. You know, and then work my way up through the consoles from there again. But yeah, stuff like SNES and Mega Drive, you know, Master System, Nintendo Entertainment System, I didn't own those. I played them, I loved them, but I didn't have the money back in the day.
So what made you get all these systems then? Do you reckon part of it is because gaming podcast?
Yeah, you're talking about these machines. I felt like I needed to experience the games, and plus it was, you know, that nostalgic feeling. Even though I didn't own some of these machines originally, you saw them advertised, your friends had them, you played them. Yeah, I remember a friend getting the Nintendo, and he had remember the original Turtles game, not the arcade game, but the platform game. He had that, and although I think I had an Amiga by that point, I still wanted to play some of these strange games. They look dated, That was the thing with the Nintendo over here. I don't think it done as well, because by the time it was released and getting popular, there was, you know, much more powerful machines out. But I still wanted to play these games because you could see how playable they were.
Yeah.
And, it's just it's a strange thing, but you still feel a link to the nostalgia of these machines, despite not owning them.
Where did you get most of your machines then? Have you bought them, like, eBay? Have you just... I know you've been given quite a few.
Yeah, I've been fairly lucky. I mean, the Vectrex I managed to get for £35. I actually bought that from a website called flashback.co.uk.
Right.
I got speaking to the owner, because he had some for sale, and I said to him, "No, have you got any that are a bit cheaper?" And he said, "Look, I've got one here that's not working properly. The sand on it's gone, but you can have that for £35. So he sent me it, and I thought to myself, I know how to fix these. I'm not an engineer or anything, but I replaced the sand chip on it, and bingo, it works. And, yeah, I had a Vectrex for £35, which...
That's amazing.
This is going back probably right at the beginning of the podcast. I don't think you'd pick one up, even non-working, for that money now. Mm-hmm. You know, because this is the trouble with all these systems. The value of them is just going through the roof. It's ridiculous, really, how much you can pay for a machine these days. So it's I was lucky. A lot of these machines I've not paid top whack for. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I've got them now instead of trying to buy them at the moment.
Now, for me, I want to talk about this as well. When we first started doing the podcast, I think all I had actually owned at the time was my Xbox 360, which isn't retro, and a Spectrum Plus 3, which didn't work.
Yeah.
And I didn't see the point of getting all these systems, because I thought, you know what, we haven't got a lot of room as it is. They take up too much space. They cost quite a bit of money. So I was more than happy just doing the emulation route. You know, in my laptop, I had Commodore 64, Amstrad, Spectrum, Sega Master System, Nintendo. So that kept me happy. And at first, hearing you guys talk about, you know, you were buying this, you were buying that, I didn't quite get it. And then, I don't know what it was, I can't remember one of the first systems I started collecting again, but as soon as I got that first system, which was, I think it was a Mega Drive, I saw how cheap the games were on eBay, so I started collecting a few of the cheaper games, started buying the games that I used to own back in the day, and then I wanted to have, you know, some of the other systems, but again, eBay was just a bit too pricey. And it wasn't until this year, actually, you know, that I started going to the car boot sales with you guys and, you know, Ali, the Retro Hunter. And I saw all these machines out there for going for a silly price. And that's when I really started collecting. And I've really built up quite a bit of a collection, actually, now. I mean, I'll quickly go through some of the systems I actually own. Let's have a little look at what I have. Where's my collection? All right, so I've got a Benetton, an Atari 2600 Junior. I've got two of those. I picked up one 2 weeks ago when I went out with Rob. Picked that up for £10. I've got two ZX Spectrum Plus 2s. One's been given to me. I will be giving away one next month for our competition. My latest pickup, Dean, it's unbelievable, an Amstrad CPC 464 for £1.
Have you tested it?
I've not tested it. What I'm doing, I'm taking it down to Play Expo, and I'm going to let Damien take it home with him and give it a go.
Right.
But again, whether it works or not,
well, this is it for a quid. I mean, there's bits, you know, even if you were to try and sell it on just as, you know, spares, I'm sure you could get your money back. That's amazing, isn't it? £1 for a computer.
And I think the C64 was £10 I picked up. And Atari Lynx was a fiver.
Yeah.
And a lot of these systems, you know, just I've been walking around and they've just been sat there by themselves staring at me. And I'm thinking, you know what, I cannot resist this. And like now, I can't stop collecting. So it's something to talk about on the podcast. It's something interactive that we do with our community here in Essex. And it's just nice. And I've really got hooked on the whole sort of collecting things now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when we first started going to these boot sales, I didn't think we'd find any of this kind of stuff because, like I said, the prices on eBay are going through the roof, and yet if you've got, you know, the patience to walk around, I mean, the boot sale we go to in Dunton, which I'm sure a lot more people are going to that boot sale now, we've been mentioning it on the show, it's unbelievable. I've never seen, you know, a boot sale this size before, but to find these things for so cheap, like I said, I mean, this wasn't actually at Dunton, but I picked up the Commodore 64 for £6 with every, you know, it came with everything. It came with one game, which isn't a lot, but for £6, I wasn't expecting this thing to work at all. I get it home, it works fine, it's perfect. It's, you know, you just don't think that these things are going to be going at boot sales for these prices these days.
And the amazing thing is, though, just right behind you was Rob, one of our listeners, and he wanted that C64, but he missed out because you got there first. But saying that, though, a couple of months later, he managed to get himself a C64.
He got it cheaper, didn't he?
I think for £3.
Yeah. You know, now I feel gutted.
Well, that's one of the things about these boot sales that, you know, I've learned from Ellie, that sometimes you can be walking along and then you'll see someone walking along with a box like Amiga or like, you know, a Sega Master System with a whole bag of games, and you think, crap, I've missed it. But the beauty is that you, somewhere down the line, you know that you will find something. So it's just, it's trial and error, really. You know, it's just luck, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. And it's a great way of collecting. Guys, you know, if you're going down the emulation route and you're probably thinking, you know, it's money, it's space, give it a try. You'll get hooked. You'll probably end up getting divorced, but you will get hooked.
Yeah. All right, then. So we'll move away from that then, mate. What I want to talk about now is Play Expo, which is happening this weekend, the 12th and 13th of October, up in Manchester. And I'm looking forward to this. What about yourself, mate?
Yeah, like I said earlier on, I wasn't actually planning on going. I wasn't too sure if I'd get the time off of work. And to be perfectly honest, you know, funds are rather low because we're just surviving on my wage at the moment. Carly goes back to work in November. So, I wasn't planning on going. But, you know, as the time draws closer, I'm starting to get excited. I can't wait.
Well, I didn't think I was going to be able to go. I mean, I managed to get some press passes. Originally, I couldn't get the time off work. And then, you know, I found out that I had a few days owing. So I thought, well, you know what? Let's see if I can go for the weekend. But then I started thinking, I don't really want to go for the weekend because I'll miss my wife, I'll miss the baby. And I thought, you know what? Why don't I go for the one day? I booked that day off work and they said, yep, you can have it. So I'm free to go on the Saturday. So we're meeting up about 5 in the morning.
Yep.
It's me, you, Ali, and we're meeting up with loads of our listeners and community members at Play Expo. But I'm one of the things why I'm excited about, it feels like we're on a little road trip, you know?
Yeah, I'm glad we're only going for the one day because, you know, we go to these events twice a year, don't we now? It's, you know, there's two of these things that are going on. And we always go for both days. And the second day, you're exhausted and it's more or less the same thing. Don't get me wrong. We get to meet all different people, you know, our listeners and people from the industry. And, you know, it's great, but on the second day, you are usually exhausted. And by the end of it, you're retroed out.
Yeah, that's an expression that I sort of coined. Sometimes we've gone to these things and I'm like, Dean, I think I'm retroed out now. And it's just, you know, I've had enough, you know, just walking around, seeing the same machines, playing the same games. And don't get me wrong, you know, I love doing this sort of thing. But I'm really excited because it's me, you and Ali in the same car. It's about 5 in the morning. It's going to be about 2.5 hour journey, maybe slightly more. We're going to stop by at a petrol station, grab something to eat. And I'm looking forward to that journey. And I think what we're going to do is record a little podcast on the way up there and then record something on the way back on the car. So I don't know how good the quality is going to be like, but it'll be fun nevertheless. I mean, I might be a bit tired because I don't get back home from work the night before until 2 in the morning.
Christ.
So, Saturday morning I'm
you
getting...
You are crazy.
So, yeah, you know, loads of coffee and Red Bull, that's how I'll get through.
Oh, you're mad. You're a mad man. Yeah. Shows you how much you're devoted.
Completely and totally. So if any of our listeners are going to Play Expo this weekend on the 12th, which is a Saturday, that's the only day we'll be there. You can, you know, send us a message on Twitter. You can find me at RetroAsylum1. And I'll be tweeting throughout the day anyway. Try and meet up with us. I've got a few Retro Asylum t-shirts that I'll be giving away. And I think Ali's got a few little presents that he might be giving away as well. And what's your Twitter handle, Dean?
It is at Dean Swain. Nice and simple.
Right, and I think Ali is the Retro Hunter. And yeah, so, you know, we look forward to meeting you guys. So what should we do now then, Dean? Should we do a little bit of name the game, perhaps?
Sounds good to me.
All right, so for our listeners that haven't, you know, played or heard this before, the way this works is we each think of a game and the other person's got to try and guess it. You can either guess it with a... We can only answer, I should say, with a yes or no. So, Dean, have you thought of a game for me to guess or you haven't done one yet?
I have thought of a game.
Right, so, Dean, let's play Name the Game.
The game.
Glenn's going to love that. Right, so Dean, is that an arcade game?
No. Oh, actually, yes, there was an arcade version, but it came later.
Okay, was it on the ZX Spectrum then, originally?
No, but it did see a poor port on the ZX Spectrum. Very poor.
So it was a game that came out on a home system that came out in the arcade afterwards?
That's right.
Xenon.
No.
Oh, man. Okay, was that a shoot-em-up?
No.
Was that a racing game?
No.
A beat-em-up?
No.
Platformer?
Yes.
So it's a platformer that eventually became an arcade game.
Which was released by Sega.
Which was released by Sega, but came out on the computers first.
Well, it actually came out on a console first. An early console.
All right, the Atari.
Yes, it was released on the Atari 2600.
Right, and there were Spectrum ports of it as well?
There was a Spectrum port of it. It is a sequel.
Right, okay. Was there a Sega Master System version?
No.
NES version?
Possibly. I think there might well have been, but I can't confirm that at this present time.
Right, now, I don't want to give up on this, so... Okay, did it come out mid-80s?
No, 84. Blimey, I'm giving all the clues away.
84, so our listeners, yeah. Can you guess this right before I do? So it's a platformer that came out on the home systems before it came out in the arcade.
It's most famous on the Atari 2600.
See, I can't think of a game that came out.
This is a big.
Oh, I've got it! I've got it! Pitfall.
Pitfall 2.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll let you have that one.
Fantastic.
Yeah, designed by David Crane. There was a Sega arcade version of it released later on, about 1986. But yeah, of course, it was released on the 2600 first of all in 1984, I believe.
Right, well, there you go. A bit of information for the game I've got. I can't give you any information apart from the name of the game and who made it.
Right, okay. So is this an arcade game?
It is an arcade game.
Is it a platform game?
It's not a platform game.
Right, is it a beat-em-up?
Scrolling beat-em-up, yes.
Scrolling beat-em-up. Okay.
I thought I'd give you a bit of a clue there.
Is it by IREM?
Nope.
So it's not Kung Fu Master or Vigilante?
Nope.
Is it by Beta East?
It's not.
That's not Dragon Ninja versus Bad Dudes?
I like the way you're doing this.
Eliminate. Is it by Taito?
It's not, no.
Right, okay.
Have you got like a little checklist there?
No, only in my head.
Right, my head.
It's strange. I can remember these things from 30 years ago, but I can't remember what I've done yesterday. okay, is it by Technos?
It's not.
So it's not Double Dragon?
Nope.
Double Dragon 2.
I wouldn't make that too easy for you.
Capcom?
No, it's not by Capcom.
So it's not Final Fight?
No, that would be too obvious,
that
wouldn't
it? That would be too obvious. Is it by Sega?
It is by Sega.
Is it Golden Axe?
It's not Golden Axe. Again, I'm not making it that easy.
Is it Dynamite Ducks?
It is Dynamite Ducks. How did you get that?
I'm sure we've had this before. I'm sure you've used this game before.
Oh, man, really?
Because I'm that good.
Oh, man. Well, well done, mate. Well done. So hopefully our listeners got this before before we got it then. All right, we're going to move on to our next section, actually. Dean, if you go to the forum and go to Random Ramblings, it's a section called 10 Retro Gaming Facts About You.
Yes.
Now, I've nicked this from the Monkey Chunk podcast. Monkey Chunk Show, I should say. But you know what? You know, it's an homage to them, basically. You know, so, all right. The way this works is some of us put some stuff down, 10 things about us on the podcast. I'm going to randomly pick a number between 1 and 10. And we'll read that out, basically. So who's... Okay, we've got one about Sweeney. Oh, we've got one about Soulstar. Who should we do, then? Should we do mine, yours, Sam's, or Soulstar? Who should we do? Yeah, let's do Soulstar's, then.
Cool.
Do you want to do the reading out, then? Or do you want to pick a number between 1 and 10?
I'll pick a number. We'll go for... number 6.
Right, so this is Soulstar, and if that name does sound familiar, by the way, he did the last podcast where he told us a little bit about his gaming collection and so on, so let's find out more about him. Number 6, you said?
Yep.
He was definitely a Mortal Kombat person over Street Fighter more than anything, entirely down to the finishing moves. Mortal Kombat, during the heyday period, it was for him. Mortal Kombat 3 less, and by Ultimate and Trilogy, his interest had died. I prefer Street Fighter 2. I do think Mortal Kombat's overrated because of the gore and fatalities. All right. Pick another number then, Dean.
Number 9,
right. He once managed to finish X-Men Children of the Atom on the hardest 9-star difficulty without losing a single credit with Cyclops on the first day of buying the game. Wow.
Very good.
That's pretty impressive.
That is.
All right, go on. Give us one more then, and pick another number.
We'll go for... We had 6 and 9. Go for 7.
7, right. Okay, the first game that he actually ever played was the first system he owned at an Atari ST was Blood Money, although that wasn't the first title he played, as he'd played on another ST at his uncle's house prior to this.
Well, that wasn't confusing.
All right. Let me have a little look then. Let's find out a little bit about you, Dean.
Okay, cool.
And you can... All right, let me pick a number. I want to go for number 3.
Ah, right, okay. Am I reading this out?
Yeah, go for it, buddy.
Okay, right. I was once on an episode of the BBC documentary QED, which was about video game addiction. I've just got to point out, I was just happened to be at the, what was the show called? It was the PC show at Earl's Court. This was probably about 1987, 88.
Yeah.
I wasn't addicted to games. But I just happened, me and my
friends. And all these years later, you've got a podcast about them and you collect machines.
Yeah, I wasn't addicted, honest. It's really embarrassing because, Christ, how old am I there? And my hair, I've got a horrible spiky haircut. If you go onto the forums, by the way, guys, there's a little clip of when I was on. I must have been about 13 there. It's awful. It's so embarrassing. And the next day, after that was on, I had to go to school. And my good God, did I get some stick over.
Ah, oh, that's amazing stuff, Dean.
Yeah.
All right, let's find another number then. What number was that? That was number 3.
It was.
I'm going to go for number 10.
Is this mine? Was still doing or yours?
Yeah, no, you read it out, go on.
Right, I once stole a bundle of magazines from a WH Smith's warehouse in Hackney, which turned out to be the first issue of Your Sinclair, complete with cover tapes. I sold the lot at school. Yes, a true fact. There's by Homerton Station in Hackney. There used to be a small WH Smith's distribution warehouse, and they used to have a big bin where they was going to incinerate all the old magazines.
Right.
And if you got up on the platform of the train station and then slid down a drain pipe, you could get straight into the warehouse. So a couple of us slid down the drain pipe, jumped into this bin, and you picked out bundles of magazines. And we only wanted them because they had, we could see they had tapes attached to them. We was going to use
how did you know that these were there? Like,
sources. Sources had told me that they were there.
Sources.
So, yeah, I picked a bundle out, and they're covered in newspaper. You know, you can't see what there is, but we knew that there was, we could see there was tapes poking out through them. And, yeah, I chucked them up to a mate, climbed back up the lamppost and legged it. And when we unwrapped them back at my mate's house, it was actually issue one of Your Sinclair, and it had Rasputin on the demo tape.
Ah, and you haven't got one of those magazines left?
No, I should have kept one, shouldn't I? As a souvenir, but, you know, the policeman caught up with me and got me red-handed.
All right, then. So the next one I'll go for is number 16.
Number 6, right. Oh, yes. You are picking these deliberately, aren't you?
All right. Yeah, that's not random.
No, not at all. I once lent a load of Atari 2600 games to a friend for a weekend, only to find out that he had fallen off of a roof and had died. Never lend games to people who can't handle heights. This is, again, it's a true story. You wouldn't believe it if you'd...
What on earth did you kids get up to? Like,
well, I've got to admit, he was gas sniffing on a roof.
Oh, God.
Yes. So, number one, don't gas sniff. Number two, don't lend games to gas sniffers, especially if they climb up on roofs. I had no idea, you know... Been going to school with this kid for a few years and, yeah, lent him a load of games.
Yeah.
And it's quite a few, you know, and this was Atari 2600 games. They're quite expensive, even though this was probably around 1988. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, he fell off the roof and died, and I couldn't go round to his house and ask for the games back, could I? Because his mum and dad were, you know, grieving. So, yeah, I lost a load of games and a friend. But
wow, that's just like, I've never heard any story like that before.
I was more gutted about losing my games. How bad am I?
Yeah, but when you're a kid, you're a kid.
Well, this is it.
All right, so I think what we'll do now then, guys, we'll play a little retro tune, and I'll put Dean again on the spot. Dean, is there any particular tune that you want to play?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I was going to include this on the music special, but I didn't want to mention the words Double Dragon.
Although, you're not going to go for Double Dragon again, are you?
I'm going to go for a Double Dragon 2, the first level.
Double Dragon 2, the first level?
Yeah, when you're up on the roofs with the helicopters.
All right, yeah, we'll go for that.
So we'll chuck that in because I didn't want to mention Double Dragon in that episode, and unfortunately Sam went and said the words, so the words were included in that episode, but I just want to point out I did not say Double Dragon in an episode. That's got to be a first for me.
Yep. I thought you were going to get through this episode without doing it. But anyway, guys, sit back and enjoy. what we'll start doing now then, Dean, I think we'll start wrapping the show up. But it's not as long as our normal episodes, but, you know, it's been a while since we've done this. But before we do round the show up, I want to quickly congratulate a Jack-O-Lantern 666, who was the winner of our last competition, and he won a PS1, which was donated by the Retro Hunter himself, Ali. Now, this month, what we have got as a prize is a Game Boy with R-Type, you know, to give away. And the way you can win this, guys, is nice and easy. All you have to do is just basically complete the sentence, "I want this Game Boy because..." You can do it via Twitter, you can do it via the forum, you can do it on Facebook, and I'm going to just get all the, you know, entrances of that, basically. I'm going to pick one out, pick my favourites, and then do it that way. So the funniest one, or the one that I find personally the best, I think, you know, that's the way we're going to choose the winner. So, and every month leading up until Christmas as well, we're going to be giving away some prizes. Like, November is a good one. We're giving away a ZX Spectrum. In December, I'm not sure which system we'll be giving away, but we will be giving away a certain system.
I've just got to say as well, we're celebrating our second birthday. The PlayStation that we're giving away, do you know they're 18 years old now?
I had no idea, really.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem that long.
18 years. Isn't that amazing? You know, I still look at that as a fairly modern system. That really does make me feel old. So, yeah, you know, we always used to debate, do we include the PlayStation on the show? And, yeah, 18 years. I think that's amazing. It's that old.
Well, I think, yeah, we can definitely talk about it now, if it is that age.
Yeah.
Right, so anyway, let's start rounding this up then, Dean. So have you got any thanks or any, you know, plugs you'd like to mention?
Well, obviously I'd like to thank Sam, because, as you said, you was away. I was supposed to be helping out a lot more than what I did. I've been so busy, I didn't really get a chance. So, you know, Sam really was looking after Retro Asylum during that month, although I'd done that one episode. He was posting the news and, you know, making sure everything went out on time, all the episodes were finished and wrapped up. So, yeah, big thanks to him. And I just want to thank all our listeners and my mum and dad, my sister who's over in Dubai, where she lives. I haven't spoke to her in weeks, but, you know, thank you for caring.
Right, so let me give out a few shout-outs. Again, I'd like to thank all the team, but the person I'd like to give a big special thanks to is Dino Dini, because he really saved us, you know.
He did. Top man.
I completely nearly forgot to say that, but, I mean, we were going through a little bit of a financial thing where, like, our hosting fees just came out of the blue, and I thought, how on earth am I meant to pay for this? And then all of a sudden, you know, Dino Dini sent me a PM. He goes, check your PayPal account, and we're sorted now for 2 years. So big special thanks to Dino for this. I really appreciate that. You know, really, really, really grateful for that. So you did save us, Dino.
You did. Also, one thing I'd like to say is, if anyone's got a Sega Saturn joypad, please let me know. sell it to me nice and cheap. I'm skint this time of year, you know, two kids and all that, and I've got a Sega Saturn sitting in the lockup, and I can't play it because I've only got the steering wheel controller, and as hard as I've tried, I cannot control anything else using the steering wheel other than car games.
I mean, what I will do then, Dean, I'll keep an eye out for if I go to these car boot sales anyway.
Yeah.
But anyway, so what is your Twitter handle once again?
Dean Swain.
Dean Swain, simple as, and that's it. I'm Retro Asylum 1. We're also on Facebook. Why not sort of like spread the love? And most of all, leave us an iTunes review. We've got 95. We need 5 more to take us to 100 to make us feel that little bit extra special. Thank you very much, guys. Sorry if it's been a little bit chaotic, but it's been a while since we've done this, and the baby's asleep upstairs, so I can't record for too long today anyway. So, yeah, we'll see you all at Replay Expo.
Have fun, boys and girls.
This will be up on Friday, mate.
All right, mate. I'll see you later. See you later.